This is Rich Holsnick, candidate for Escambia County School Board District 4. I'm running for our children, to protect their innocence and to get back to educational basics without indoctrination. I'm a Naval Academy grad, 28-year Navy pilot, and former Desert Storm Task Group commander. I'm also proudly endorsed by former Superintendent Malcolm Thomas. Children are our hope and future. I will defend them as I did our nation. Vote Rich for School Board District 4.
Paid for by Rich Holsnick, candidate for Escambia County School Board District 4.
There are approximately 5,000 media market radio stations in the country, and only one was recognized for excellence by winning the prestigious Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters at a ceremony in New York City.
News Radio 92.3.
The Media Market Station of the Year. Thanks to you. This is Pensacola's news, weather, and traffic station.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Anyone like to address council on any item?
Excuse me, Mr. Spears, I'd like to address the council here, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Actually, I'd like to do it uninterrupted, if possible.
Great. This is going to go great. Mike Cusack, City Council member in Milton, asking for a chance to speak. And don't interrupt me, sir, or anyone. I have a thing to share.
One of the situations I wanted to address, unfortunately, he has stepped away. So I'll just read verbatim. At 2:52 p.m. this past Sunday, Mr. Snow was observed stalking my home. I have come to find out that he then posted a video on social media giving out my name, my picture, and showing the world where I live in Milton. Now, because of his irresponsible and morally bankrupt actions, perhaps letting an unstable and potentially dangerous individual know who I am and where we live is unbelievable.
Now, I don't know about picture. I didn't see any picture in the video. If you want to get the whole what the video actually says, go listen to the 5 a.m. podcast. I played all of the video for you, or most of the video for you. What Jeff did, Jeff Snow, city councilman, is who he's talking about, had gone and shot a video where he was showing Mike Cusack's yard, and in Mike Cusack's yard were signs for all of the opponents to the majority who controls city council right now, because Mike is wanting to get rid of all of the people who, you know, he and Marilyn Farrow are against, who are available to be removed. Four of them, I think Casey Powell's unopposed. I think Casey Powell has gotten reelected. Anyway, so four of them, and if they can get two of those seats, then they can do things like fire Ed Spears, the city manager, and fire Alex Andrade, the city attorney, because they'll have a 4-4 split with Heather Lindsay as the tiebreaker. I assume that is their goal based on other things that I know about all of them. So Jeff Snow went and said, look, Mike Cusack got an ethics violation. He called it a misdemeanor. That's inaccurate. An ethics violation, which was a civil issue, which settled with the ethics board for a commission for $1,500. And he says, look, he's endorsing all of these people. Do you want to go with the ethics violator endorsed slate, or do you want to go with the no ethics violation slate? That's all the incumbents. It's a short version of this about 2-minute video. And Mike says that he feels threatened. He feels like his elderly wife is threatened and that they can't safely go out of their home because who knows what nut job or wacko might live in Milton and come and threaten them, public officials, at their house. That's sort of the short version of this controversy. He then went around and asked all the other city council members what they thought of it. Shari Sebastio said, no big deal. People come to my house all the time. It's public record. I don't know what the issue is. Gavin Hawthorne was more sympathetic and thought, if it were my political opponent, I'd feel kind of weird about that. Roxanne Meese, people come to my yard all the time and ask me all the time. Everybody knows me. I don't know what the big deal is. Mike Cusack then says he doesn't use Facebook. He's upgraded his security. He's very concerned about all this. Matt Jarrett didn't see him do anything wrong. Casey Powell. Everybody knows where I live, he says. I don't see what the big deal of it. We may not like it at all, but that's just the nature of things. Marilyn Farrow says it crosses the line. That's Mike Cusack's ally on the on the council. Mike alleges defamation because it wasn't a misdemeanor. I don't think that constitutes defamation. Inaccurate, though. And why can't we have better? Roxanne Meese says,
"You're running in public office. I've just realized you've got to have a thick skin and you've got to leave it alone and do what's right."
I got a thicker skin. I've been around 45 years. And you know about thick skin. I've run a business. I understand about thick skin. My concern is my significant other.
Yeah.
That's the concern that I have. And if the man wanted to, if he wants to take a film, fine. But don't sit there and disparage myself with untrue statements.
The misdemeanor versus civil citation is pretty minor in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, he's got a thick skin. But he's bringing this up at city council meeting. David Farrow, who is Marilyn Farrow's husband, of course, she's on the council. He's not.
How would we allow anyone sitting on the city council running for an office to badger someone that is not running for an office?
Sir, we can't control how somebody campaigns in their election. We don't have the right to do that.
You can't censure the person for doing that? What if he...
Nobody said anything when I first ran, and these people, well, sorry, not these people, but there was people in the public demanding my work schedule. And everybody knew my address.
Okay, but we're...
If we could let Mr. Farrow make his comments, and his time is running. So.
So that was Matt Jarrett, city councilman, responding, and Ed Spears kind of coming in at the end to try to, you know, give a little bit of order to the back and forth. Again, David Farrow continues.
He's not running for office. So why would you guys let someone badger him?
I mean, what's the recourse exactly?
Would you like your wives to be badgered? You ladies? Hey, don't care about your men. Because we'll take care of ourselves.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but I'll just make a comment because... my wife has had people jerk her car door open and try to jump in the car with her outside because they don't like what I've said in this meeting. I'm sorry.
I hope you reported it.
Yeah, that should be
I've had
reported.
People come at me right here in this meeting.
My wife has had many things said about her online, and I don't get involved in that because it's untrue. And I'm not going to lower myself to those statements. But there's things that have happened multiple times since I've been elected, and it had nothing to do with me running at the time. I wasn't running during any of the times those things have happened. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, you asked, how would you like your wives? My wife has experienced multiple times, and not only that, people trying to call and request public records from my wife when she's not a public official.
Yeah.
It's happened multiple times.
Okay.
So it happens to all of them in much worse form. Trying to get his wife out of a car? Good Lord. That's Casey Powell, by the way, the voice. You know, none of this is good. But at the same time, it is Milton, you know? And you're a public official. It's all public record. You live, your phone number, all of that kind of stuff. I try to put myself in the position of if it were me, you know, how would I feel about somebody going to my house and filming some video? And, I mean, it'd be weird. You know, if it were somebody that I knew was against me, I probably wouldn't love it. But it is legal. You know, it is legal. That doesn't mean it's good. Okay, I will say this. I think the message of what Jeff was trying to do, I think it could have been done without going to, you know, Mike's house and doing it. I get the point he was trying to make, though, about these people are aligned with these people, and this is the clump. And if you ever drive around Milton, you see these are the people on this side and these are the people on this side. It's very clearly how the signs are all kind of clumped together, who's with which faction, so to speak. So, you know, would I have done it this way? No. Does it mean that Mike and his wife need to be worried for their life? Also, no. You know, there's sort of a lot of overreaction. Almost like it's melodrama theater. Almost like there's a name for this. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10 is flowing smoothly, except for when you go through the construction zone as you head up to Highway 29 exit. Starting to see some minor slowdowns there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. by the way, I will tell you this. Just as a total aside, there is a part of me that often feels like I could just drop this whole feature and not do City of Milton.
You have to.
I cannot tell you how many people I run into. This is the one thing they know from the show. Like, this is their, Andrew, I love that segment.
And I live in Milton, and you don't know how many people have come up to me and said the exact same thing.
Oh, man. So I feel like I'm feeding the fire just a little bit, and I apologize. But, hey, these are your elected officials, at least some of them. Anyway, so now you have Howard Steele, who is always good for a sound clip or eight.
Nothing that Mr. Cusack said had anything to do with the city business, except for the fact that he was charged with a misdemeanor for failing to purchase furnace his.
Excuse me. It wasn't a misdemeanor. Get your facts straight, Mr. Steele, when you make a comment.
Whatever it was, you were charged with failing to provide your public records, and you still have not provided those public records, have you not? Have you not provided those public records?
Speak to the chair.
I'm sorry. Well, the public records have still not been provided, Mr. Chairman. Also, everything he said had nothing to do with city business. It was not to direct staff to do any functions. It was not to direct city resources to be allocated anywhere. Absolutely nothing to do with city business, other than what he, when he brought up again that he did not furnish his public records and he was held by the Ethics Commission. So I think it's a little rich that Mr. Cusack is bringing up someone else's ethics when he himself has the ethics issues.
And the David Farrow, who was speaking a moment ago, was not the one that threatened to punch a city councilman in the face. I mean, so we not a lot of clean hands running around in Milton, exactly. And then Teresa Messick, Jimmy Messick's wife, who was also often good for a soundbite, whether you think it's on track or not.
It is intimidating, insulting. And we have a business. My husband's been in business about 49 years now. And we see many people in different counties, and they are laughing in our city. It's embarrassing. And this man, Mr. Jeff Snow, I don't know why he left, but he did. And he went out and filmed this, went down the sidewalk, showing each one of the candidates that are running against.
Yeah.
Each one of these people that are running have a right to run. We, the citizens of Milton, have a right to hear what they have to say to represent us. It is embarrassing that Jeff Snow did that. It's horrible. He went down that sidewalk and he talked about each one of these candidates running, slandered them. Look at the Facebook yourself. I got a problem with that. And Gavin, thank you for speaking up, because it's wrong. Scared? It's terrible. His wife is disabled. And for her not to be able to feel comfortable sitting on her porch, I dare us to allow this to happen. Where's his backbone? He should be here, him posting something like that.
I didn't catch him slandering any of the other candidates. I caught him saying that the guy who's got an actual ethics violation for public records issues related to the Scott Collins hiring and debacle is endorsing them, whereas the sitting city council members don't have any ethics. I don't know about the slander that she's alleging. And then, you know, sort of we get toward the end of the meeting. They talked about some other stuff. They talked about garbage trucks and new Ford Rangers and things that are, you know, running a million miles on, which is actually kind of interesting stuff. I'll get to that some other day. I don't have time today. But Ed Spears, who's the city manager, at the end, just for perspective about who knows what information about anybody who works in the city.
And I'll just close with just one statement, that it is scary to think that your information is out there. We've received a public records request for every single senior staff's contract that contains their addresses. And there's concern on my staff for that public records request. We're going to fulfill it because we're obligated to fulfill it. But that type of information is being asked for, and we share those concerns.
You know, my concern was a council member filming another council member.
Completely understand.
And also,
and I would also let you know, I'm sorry for interrupting, but we've completed a security assessment of this building, and we will be bringing forth some recommendations to you of how we can better secure this facility, better secure this room in the event of an emergency, and better protect our staff.
And this didn't come directly next, but it was on track. There was a whole other side fight going on in this meeting between Jerry Cooey and Alex Andrade, mostly from Jerry Cooey towards Alex Andrade, who is both the state representative and also this Milton City Council attorney. But at the very end of the meeting, I hadn't known this was happening until Alex mentioned it, and it is kind of in the general tone and tenor of the way meetings are happening and the way people are treating each other and not being particularly kind all around. But anyway, this is Alex Andrade at the very end of the meeting.
And Mr. Spears, someone on that topic, I just want to say thank you to the two individuals in the crowd who've had their phones and cameras trained on me all evening. It's always so flattering how interested you guys are in my my job as providing legal services to the city of Milton. It's much appreciated.
I mean, it's allowed. It's legal. You don't have any expectation of privacy, but God, the camera phone has turned us into a bunch of rude people. Don't you think? Not just the camera phone, but a lot of things. We have become such intrusive people. It's so weird. 724 here on News Radio 92.3. There you go. That's your three-act play, although I told you there is a fourth act if I really wanted to go into it, but that's your three-act play for the day. Milton City Council Melodrama Theater. John, as a resident, how you feeling? You doing okay?
I'm speechless, man. I really am.
And can I be honest that in the grand scheme of a 1 to 10 scale for, you know, 1 to totally Milton, this is only like a 4. You know, 4 or 5.
Yeah, I would say 5.
In the grand history of things. I mean, there's only a little bit of yelling. Nobody got escorted out. No profanity.
That's true.
I mean, so nobody got threatened to get hit. You know, no. I mean, so
sort of
a light episode this week. 725, John Pickett, that's traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10 seeing a little slowdown from Pine Forest all the way through the Highway 29 construction zone. You're going to see some delays there. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Somebody says, text in at 437-1620. Every time I listen to Milton Melodrama Theater, I get angry at my city council and want to fix it. I will never be able to, but it makes me want to. If I lived in a different town, I think I would love this segment, but as of now, is my least favorite segment you do. I understand. I do. And at the same time, knowledge, right? What did G.I. Joe teach us?
Knowledge is power.
Not that one. That's another one. I've heard of that. Knowledge is power.
That came from like the
NBC
Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you know, and knowing is half the battle. So there now you know. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's strength for life.
Someone recently asked me, do you believe in guardian angels? And my answer is yes, but only for the Christian. In a rhetorical question, Hebrews 1:14 explains that angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So Christian person, since you're saved, an angel has been sent forth to minister to you. And remember, Psalm 103 explains that angels excel in strength. Angels are colossal beings. They are greater in power and might than the strongest of men. However, as strong as angels are, Jesus is stronger. As wonderful as it is to think about the many ways that angels serve us, Jesus served us in a far greater way by giving his life a ransom for us. Angels are created beings, and they're wonderful, but Jesus is the eternal creator God, so rejoice in Jesus today.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Are you tired of politicians who are more focused on their own careers than the people they serve? Well, so am I. I'm Gay Valamont, and I'm running for Congress to bring accountability back to District 1. While my opponent is busy with scandals, I'm focused on lowering costs, improving health care, and protecting our rights. I believe in putting people first, and I'll work for you every day, not just when the cameras are on. On November 5th, vote for me, Gay Valamont, and let's bring real leadership back to Washington.
Paid for by Gay Valamont for Congress.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
It's Councilwoman Tenny Adebroughton thanking you for your overwhelming support in electing me 4 years ago. Because of you, we've been able to secure the most funding for District 5, support small business, improve and strengthen our neighborhoods, and enhance the quality of life for everyone. A vote for me will keep District 5 included in the city's prosperity. We've had strong success. Let's do it again. Re-elect me, Tenny Adebroughton, City of Pensacola, District 5. Thank you.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Tenny Adebroughton, Pensacola City Council, District 5.
News Radio 92.3.
The winner of the prestigious Marconi Award Media Market Station of the Year from the National Association of Broadcasters.
Informative, local, dependable.
Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Oh, Rafiki. Best character in The Lion King. 729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes, and good morning, Andrew. A teenage girl has died in another in critical condition after what police in New York are calling a subway surfing incident. Cops say they got these calls on Sunday night. Two people had been injured in a subway in Queens. The two girls apparently, I guess, were riding on top of a subway car and fell off. One of them got caught between a couple of cars and died. The other one fighting for her life. I don't understand things like that.
Oh, man. All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. Oh, by the way, somebody texted and said it's Captain Planet was the knowledge is power. All right. Very good. DeSantis came to town on Friday. We'll talk about it coming up next.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Vice President Harris swings through Michigan today. Three stops. She told the crowd yesterday in Philadelphia.
Hard work is good. We will win. We will win.
Former President Obama will be in Philadelphia today, delivering remarks at a Harris campaign rally. Former President Trump speaking at a sold-out crowd at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
And I'd like to begin by asking a very simple question. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
Today, he travels to suburban Atlanta before holding a rally at Georgia Tech, and German airline Lufthansa extends its Tel Aviv flight suspensions to late November. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, we've got mostly sunny skies, an absolutely gorgeous morning, 65 degrees here in Pensacola. Well, there were big crowds downtown yesterday for the annual Barktoberfest event that was held at Seville Quarter. The Humane Society holds that event each year to raise awareness for the need for shelter adoptions and fostering animals. They had events including dog costume contests, owner and pet lookalike contests, treat walks, dog races, as well as canine demonstrations by trainers. There's an investigation ongoing after a crash involving several teenagers in Destin on Friday. That happened on Highway 98 at Emerald Coast Parkway. Officials say the accident involved a rollover and one vehicle reportedly caught on fire. There were multiple people taken to hospitals there in the area on trauma alert. One person was airlifted to Sacred Heart Hospital here in Pensacola. None of those victims have been identified, but a statement from Destin High School principal Dr. Diane Kelly says one of the teens was a student at her school. Others were students in South Walton County. A documentary about sextortion was shown at a special screening event. It was hosted by Magdalene Saturday. The event was open to teens and families in an effort to teach them the signs of potential online child exploitation.
Perpetrators will scour the internet looking for those vulnerabilities. So they might be looking for people who have posted something. Teens might post something that they're struggling with, the way they look or with their grades or with family situations. And they'll get in that crack. And then they will begin developing what appears to be a trusted relationship. And then it snowballs from there.
And that is Magdalene's executive director, Angie Ishii. And she tells Channel 3 that it can happen at home in a teenager's own bedroom. They're hoping families will learn the signs and continue to spread awareness for the issue. Governor DeSantis was here in Escambia County on Friday spreading his message against Amendment 3. He says you have to ask yourself this question.
How did this get on your ballot? It's an interesting question because it doesn't just come out of thin air. Was this driven by citizens throughout Florida who really wanted to write this? No, it was not. This amendment was written by the CEO of a major marijuana company.
And DeSantis says that CEO would be violating their fiduciary duty if they wrote the amendment to be good for the state, not to, quote, monetize the hell out of it, end quote. He went on to say he believes the amendment is not about freedom, as it wouldn't allow Floridians to grow their own marijuana. They'd still have to purchase it from the companies that he described as a cartel. Well, Senator Marco Rubio says whoever leaked top secret U.S. intelligence documents on Israel's plans to strike Iran committed treason.
Well, it has to be someone who was working in the U.S. government that had access to that information, that either gave it to someone who put it out there or put it out there directly. We know, because we've seen it in all these different dissents, they're a bunch of cowards, by the way, all these people that are anti-Israel, and they say, we think with the, you know, this is wrong and we shouldn't be supporting Israel. They never generally openly sign the names to any of these things.
Rubio was on Fox News Sunday to discuss that and other issues. He says there's elements within the U.S. government that hate Israel and sympathize with Hamas and Hezbollah, and he says he hopes the person that leaked those documents is caught and faces prosecution on treason charges. It's 7:35 at News Radio. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. I-10 just seeing a minor slowdown if you're around I-10 eastbound approaching the construction zone through Highway 29. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We will have a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 82 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. For Tuesday, plenty of sunshine, high near 80. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. Keeping that sunshine around on Wednesday with a high near 80 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 65 in Pensacola, 64 in Gulf Breeze, 62 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Boeing is set to launch as early as today its plans to raise more than $15 billion in capital as it works to bolster finances, worsened by a crippling ongoing strike. The new capital is set to come from a mix of stock and convertible preferred shares, saying the total amount raised could rise based on demand. Korea Zinc said it has secured a nearly 9.9% of the company's shares in a $1.5 billion buyback that it launched to block shareholders from selling their stakes to its top investor, Young Poong, and private equity firm MBK. Venom: The Last Dance took the top spot at the box office, collecting $51 million during its opening weekend. However, the film was projected to pull in closer to $65 million. The film is performing better overseas, collecting $124 million internationally. Futures are slightly higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 259. That's Your Money Now.
I'm Don Gates, and I stand with Governor DeSantis to stop illegal aliens from invading our state and draining our resources. I'll never allow illegals to get Florida driver's licenses, and I won't spend a penny of taxpayer money on illegals so long as there is one Florida veteran who needs our help or our care. Law enforcement is supporting me because I will give them the tools, the laws, and the backing to arrest illegals who commit crimes and get them out of our country. If Biden can't, or if Biden won't, then Florida must protect our borders and preserve the rule of law. And that's why I'm running for the Senate.
Don Gates, trusted conservative leadership. Fighting for Northwest Florida. Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, everybody. This is Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half-cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information. Paid for by Santa Rosa's Tomorrow Today.
There are approximately 5,000 media market radio stations in the country, and only one was recognized for excellence by winning the prestigious Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters at a ceremony in New York City.
News Radio 92.3,
the Media Market Station of the Year. Thanks to you. This is Pensacola's news, weather, and traffic station.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
There's commercials saying nobody should be rotting in prison for smoking marijuana. Vote for Amendment 3. I agree with that, right? So I asked the Department of Corrections when they started making that argument, I wasn't aware that people are in prison for this. Can you look up how many? Because I would be willing to pardon them. The number of people in Florida prisons for using or possessing personal amounts of marijuana is zero. Zero. None.
Or zero. So Governor DeSantis is here in town at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office on Friday with who all was up on that podium? I'm trying to remember now. I know it was Joe Latipo, the Surgeon General, and Mitesh Patel, local hotelier, and, you know, Sheriff Simmons, of course. And he was here to basically clarify how Amendment 3 is, what's the word I want? A giant bundle of lies. it's not... What they're selling is the image that Amendment 3 is just light decriminalization for personal possession amounts of marijuana. But if you actually read what it will do in the Constitution, it makes serious changes, including things like making sure that the only people who can sell you marijuana, if this passes, protected in the Constitution, will be medical marijuana dispensaries, as in the ones who are already in business. As in the ones who stand to make millions and millions and millions and millions and maybe billions of dollars off of passing this. It is not there to let you grow it yourself. It is not there to let all kinds of businesses come in and compete. It's there to protect this very particular source and a massive business bonus for them while also granting themselves complete legal and criminal immunity across the board. It's actually in the bill, as, you know, Governor pointed out.
Honestly, the chutzpah to write an amendment for yourself and put that in there, I mean, it takes a lot of gall to do that. Are you serious?
Yeah, and it'll increase the black market because we have seen this happen elsewhere, that you're overall increasing demand by so much, and, you know, some people aren't going to want to pay, let's say, a tax or the prices or whatever. And so you actually have seen a increased black market after legalization because overall demand goes so much higher that it even outpaces what can be provided legally. And that's what happened, for all kinds of reasons, but that's what's happened in Colorado and California, plus kids getting access to it, because once it's available easily for 21-year-olds, it's very hard to figure out, you know, where did you get it from? Is it correctly owned? How did it get passed? Just all of these things have been true. And he says, look, this is going to be worse than Colorado and California and New York. And it's not going to be good for kids. So that was kind of his comments. And we'll come back to maybe a little bit of his in just a second. But I thought the comments from Joe Latipo were particularly interesting as well.
The big problem is that the people are being preyed upon. People's consciousness in terms of their assumptions and their beliefs about this are being preyed upon, because that is not what they are voting on. They are voting on a monstrosity. It is grotesque, the language that is, you know, that's actually behind what folks are voting on. And the language is completely the opposite. It's not about freedom, it's about enslavement. And it's enslavement to companies. And it's the worst kind, because not only does what's being proposed limit people. You know, people think, oh, you know, I'll be able to grow it, and, you know, we can have a party and people can come over. That's not what people are voting on. That's not what the policy proposes. The policy explicitly states that you come to me to buy it.
Yeah, only these companies are going to be authorized under this constitutional amendment. And as always, once you put it in the Constitution, it's extremely hard to take it out. In fact, it's kind of ironic. One of the things this would do is change a provision from the medical marijuana. Remember when we passed medical marijuana a few years ago? It actually said nothing in this section shall affect or repeal laws relating to non-medical use, possession, production, or sale of marijuana. And this constitutional amendment actually goes in and takes that part out, because the promise of medical marijuana is, no, this is not legalization. Of course, what we all recognize was that medical marijuana was step two. Step one was Charlotte's Web, right? Non-euphoric effect, medical, pure-based THC derivatives, right? That was the idea, the cannabidioid oil or whatever, however you say that word. I always struggle with that one. And then step two was medical. Step three is decriminalization of personal consumption amounts. And step four is what, I guess, trafficking. You know, it's wide open, full blown. And what things like in Oregon, where they've legalized every form of drug, although they've come back and recriminalized a lot of that stuff. Anyway, so back to the comments from the Surgeon General, also talking about how there's all these misconceptions. Like, for example, the concept is you can just leave your neighbor alone. Just don't get involved in your neighbor's business. If they want to get high, they can get high. And even, you know, Governor DeSantis said, I'm kind of on that side. Like, I don't want to interfere with my neighbor's business. But this is not that. This is so much beyond that, plus all of the protectionism for the medical marijuana dispensers. But it, you know, like, you can't grow your personal. You can't have just some farm where you grow weed out back and sell it to people. It's not free market. This is very much a $100 million being purchased, written by medical marijuana companies in order to create a business advantage for them. We'll come back to these comments in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about, but I'm starting to see some major delays on I-10 eastbound, backed up almost to the 9 mile exit. But we're seeing about a 15-20 minute delay through the construction zone on I-10 eastbound. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. And by the way, you know, one good note on this is it is true that if the legislature wanted to allow you to grow it yourself or wanted people to be able to farm it themselves, they could do that. There's nothing in this amendment that prevents that. And maybe they will. I mean, if it passes, maybe they will. I'd hate to say I'd love a more available source of marijuana in Florida, since part of the reason I vote against it is because I don't want my kids to grow up in, you know, marijuana land. But I suspect the legislature would say, man, it's just not right to give a monopoly to these people. Let's give it to, you know, anybody. But okay, back to Joe Latipo talking as a medical expert about, you know, one of the other issues here is the perception of, well, I got high back in the 70s. I know what marijuana is. But marijuana today and marijuana then, not the same thing.
You look at states that have done this in the past. There's research, there's data about the results in these states. And when you look at that, one of the things you see is that it clearly increases addiction. You know, people, like, you know, we grew up thinking, you know, marijuana is like peace, love, all that good stuff. But the marijuana that people were smoking decades ago is not the marijuana that's available now. The marijuana that's available now has much higher levels of THC, and heaven knows what else these guys are doing when they've been sort of specializing the type of crop that grows and they sell. So addiction is absolutely a thing that is fairly common with marijuana that's used, and states that have enacted policies like this. It's totally a thing.
And he even talked about the increased risk of schizophrenia connected to boys, particularly, especially using the higher potency for young children who get exposed to this. And, you know, it's just different than what a lot of people are thinking. I had been opposed to this anyway. I don't think it should be in the Constitution. Policy shouldn't be in the Constitution. You shouldn't put constitutional protections in there for policy matters. That should be done by the legislature. I don't want to live in marijuana world or have my kids grow up in marijuana world either. All of that. But the more I read the actual amendment, especially after listening to him and thinking, good Lord, this is absolutely not what we want. Now, Sheriff Simmons, I thought, actually had the most interesting comments on Friday because they were, of course, at the sheriff's office. And I've got a bunch of texts in here. I'll share the text with you in just a second. But this is Sheriff Chip Simmons at the event with Governor DeSantis on Friday.
I will tell you that small marijuana, and this is getting to the point that I believe the governor made, small marijuana is not a priority here at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. We do not spend an inordinate amount of time stopping people from marijuana. In fact, I'll go further than that. None of our canines are trained to alert on marijuana. We haven't been for a couple of years. So we're not stopping cars and oh my gosh, there's marijuana, and we're going to put them in prison, as the governor alluded to. That's not happening. That's all of that is not true. Certainly not true here in Escambia County. Our priority is fentanyl and methamphetamine. It is not misdemeanor marijuana. Now, larger marijuana is true. There's some gun violence associated with it, but that's not what they're talking
about. That's not what they're talking about. And then he tells a story, and he actually told two. He told one story of a kid, you know, at school, the kind of call that he gets routinely as kids finding gummies. Because, again, if it's widely available, it's widely available to kids, too. Even though you try to prevent that, that's not going to be stoppable, right? This story caught my attention. I sort of vaguely remembered something like this, but here, listen.
Recently, a middle school, this is another text I get. 14 students experienced negative effects of marijuana edible gummies. All sought treatment, some by their parents and some by ambulance. They were experiencing difficulties breathing and many having very much trouble breathing. These are the messages that I get during a regular work day because these kids are in school. These are all middle school kids. So this happened to be at a middle school that I was nearby. Me and my chief deputy, we drove by there. And what do we see in the front of this middle school? We see 14 middle school students, most of them females. Some of them were being loaded into an ambulance. Some of them had parents that had pulled up in tears, running towards their kids. And there were two middle school kids on a table or a gurney and just crying their eyes out because they have no idea what's happening to them. This is not uncommon. These are just two of the messages that I've received. One 14, one kid.
Because the gummies. Because the edibles. Because kids don't know the difference. Or if they do, they think it's fine to try. Whatever the case is. You know, 14 middle school girls? Mostly girls? Good Lord. So anyway, the sheriff has not really been all that outspoken about this, but he's becoming more so. And of course, some of the stuff that he told us last week, same thing.
I've spoken to many, many law enforcement professionals in Colorado and in California. We have a lot of conferences, and they all, when I ask, well, you know, we have this on the amendment, what do you think? And all of them shake their head no. Do not let it happen. None of them say that passage of this type of legislation or this type of an amendment makes their community better. Our community will not be better. Now, I haven't gotten out and said I'm all against this. I haven't held signs up, but I can tell you what I see. I see this, and when I'm asked the question, am I support of Amendment 3, the answer, based upon what I know, based upon what I see, based upon what I hear, is an absolute no. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
And the governor even added, like, the problem here is that people aren't going to read it. They're going to see the ballot language, and that's all they're going to know, and they're going to see the ads, and that's all they're going to know, and then they're going to go vote. And he's, you know, worried that because of basically lack of information about what the actual amendment will do in the Constitution, that's his concern. That's why he's doing this series of press conferences to raise awareness, and why I felt like we ought to share this with people because maybe they don't know.
You know, when you're talking to friends, families, neighbors, you know, just if they're on the fence on this, or even if they're planning on voting for it, just educate them on this, because I don't think a lot of people honestly would go for this. I mean, like, the way they get to 60 is people not reading this. There's just too much bad stuff in here for it to get 60%.
And I got a bunch of texts in here, 437-1620. Thank you for talking about this. If you vote no on 3, they can clean it up and resubmit it if they want. If they vote yes, that's it. Changes the Constitution. That's right. That's why you vote no on amendments almost all of the time. Somebody says amendments need 60% to pass. Yes, that's correct. 60% plus a vote. 100% no on 3. 70s vernacular weed is, I don't know what that means, but yeah, that's, again, yes, on this one, no. Let's see, Trulieve owners, Russian oligarchs donate big money to, I'm not, I guess this amendment. They're not good people. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. Let's see. Wouldn't the cost of legal weed after all the government permits, inspections, testing, and procedures simply make street weed more marketable? Yep, right, exactly. And once you buy it, how are you going to tell where it came from? It's just like how we don't have dogs sniff for weed anymore because medical is allowed. You wouldn't, I mean, what would you have to do? Carry around your proof of purchase with you? You know, like, you know, it just, it becomes unworkable. Let's see. Somebody says, I personally smoked it from the 70s. You could always get good stuff and bad stuff. I don't agree with the scare they're using, but I'm against the bill. I don't agree with them using taxpayer-sponsored public service announcements. Let's see. Somebody just says, wow, I regret voting for it now. Sorry. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, there's a lot. And I thought, you know, Ed, can I just tell you my personal reaction? When I heard the governor was coming on Friday, and he's coming to do a PSA about Amendment 3, I'm like, oh. That was my reaction. Okay. And then when I watched the press conference, I'm like, I didn't know some of that. Now, I'm not sure I agree with his interpretation of the liability 100%, but the provision only for the medical marijuana folks and all the money and why they're put, like, that's all correct, yes. And it's just a reminder, remember, on amendments, always vote no, unless it really needs to be done, it's exactly the right issue, the legislature won't do it, and you want it to be permanent because there's no better way to do it. Like, most people look at amendments as, I get to play legislator and vote for something. That's not how you want to look at ballot amendments. Changing and tinkering the Constitution should be hard, very, very hard. And it is really, even at 60%, it's too easy. 7:54 on News Radio 92.3. Hey, changing gears here for a second. If you're thinking about a different career or, a certification or, I don't even want to go into nursing, for goodness sake. We got good friends just getting done with their nursing degree at Pensacola State College. Or you want to take a personal enrichment course. You know, you want to go use the tennis courts, or you want to go use the disc golf, or you want to go watch a play, or whatever. Look, there's all kinds of things to do at PSC. My kids, one of the ways my kids benefited from it is dual enrollment. And dual enrollment, I actually was surprised by this. It's been around for a long time here in Florida. It was new to me when we moved here. But the principle of it is you get to go to high school and college at the same time for free. Even books are paid for. And you get college credit while you're getting your high school credit. So you get to go to university with a lot of your prerequisites out of the way. You know, you can go with a semester, two. My kids, both of them so far, have gone with a year and a half, three semesters worth of credit from PSC before they went to UWF. So very, very good program. Plus, you know, student-oriented, customer-oriented, you know, state colleges are different than universities, and it's a great way to kind of get your feet wet, or just for the non-traditional student, you know, whoever you are. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrenton, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your goals at pensacolastate.edu.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Carissa Burgosh is running for school board to make sure our children aren't harassed or bullied. A lifelong educator, Carissa knows the number one issue affecting education is a lack of discipline. When the Florida governor appointed Carissa to the school board during an emergency vacancy years ago, she ensured that bullying and fighting were not tolerated, and our schools were much better then. Choose proven leadership. She's from here and will remain here.
I'm Carissa Burgosh, running for school board District 4, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Carissa Burgosh.
Warning, Amendment 4 overturns Florida's parental consent law, so a minor could undergo an abortion without a parent's permission. Doctors can't even prescribe Tylenol without a parent's consent. But with Amendment 4, abortion would become the only medical procedure that can be performed on a minor without a parent's permission. Amendment 4 goes far beyond Roe v. Wade, eliminating reasonable safeguards and forcing taxpayers to fund abortions. even late-term abortions when science says the baby can feel pain. The Amendment 4 campaign is funded by George Soros and his radical allies, the same people trying to strip away parents' rights and push gender ideology in schools are trying to overturn parental consent on abortion. Amendment 4 isn't about freedom. It's about taking power from parents and giving it to radical leftists. Be warned, Amendment 4 is way too extreme and not what it seems. Sponsored by Truth About Amendment 4.
I'm Ashley Hoffberger. If you're ready for better investment of our taxpayer dollars, real transparency in local government, and putting our first responders first, I'm asking for your vote for Escambia County Commissioner. I'm proud to be supported by our brave firefighters, EMT, and law enforcement officers, those who protect us every day. I am ready to bring a new perspective, and I am committed to our community. I'm asking for you to vote Ashley Hoffberger for Escambia County Commissioner.
Paid for and approved by Ashley Hoffberger, Republican for Escambia County Commission.
You're listening to the National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Award Media Market Station of the Year.
7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. You got air show questions? We'll have answers. Talking to Terry Shashady, Captain Terry Shashady, the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola, coming up next. Of course, lots of stuff to talk about there. David Wayne is a quick headline for us. David?
Well, thousands of people are expected when Vice President Kamala Harris gives what her organizers are calling her closing argument to voters. Tomorrow, that'll be in Washington, D.C. at the Ellipse near the White House.
Will she do it in the style of a preacher like she did over the weekend?
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.